B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think if you just watch baseball across the league, you're going to see some interesting things. You know, be prepared for 4-hour long games and some interesting things. I don't know. I'm just grateful that I got this far into my career before we're at this point.
What a freaking martyr. Seriously. Hour number four, Felger and Maz, as promised, right to your calls on everything that we've hit on today. How about Matt in Malden on the Spider Tech? Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. So as whiny as the pitcher's audio has been, I'll tell you why I have a little bit of sympathy for them and blame the analytics guys in less than 30 seconds. In education, there's an expression, teaching to the test. Forget music, forget art, forget being a well-rounded student. Teach what's on the standardized test. Make the numbers look good. The analytics guys in baseball have been in power for about 15 years, and it's been just forget painting the corners, forget pitching to contact, forget knowing how to pitch. Just spin rate, numbers, numbers, spin rate, stats. And for 15 years, it's a whole generation of pitchers now have come up through the minors and have been fed, don't learn how to pitch, just spin rate. And so now they're being told after a decade and a half, oh, no, now you have to know how to pitch like Greg Maddux did. No, now you have to know how to paint the corners. Forget spin rate, forget everything you've been told. And so I have a little sympathy and understand where they're coming from.
Absolutely right. Absolutely
it's
right.
It's a good analogy.
No. You're right about everything you said. Here's my answer. Life ain't fair. That's just the way it is. You're not the boss. We all work for the man. And the man is now saying, and he's a fraud because of it, but oh well, what are you going to do? The man is now saying, you can't use this stuff. So, sorry, it's not your team, it's not your league.
And if they all weren't such collective whiny babies about it, maybe I would have some empathy and sympathy for them. But because of the way they're all acting, oh, F off.
Oh, I have no sympathy for it, but I think his larger point is right. That the point is, they didn't, you know, been emphasized has been the wrong thing.
It wasn't the pitcher's idea to emphasize spin rate.
Correct.
They were told by the nerds upstairs, or the nerds upstairs started drafting players or signing players or paying players who had this one skill set, and the player said, and the pitcher said, oh, that's what gets me paid now? So yes, of course, it started with the owners and it started with the nerds. 100% agree. They also run the game and own the teams, so they set the rules. Now they're saying no more sticky stuff. Sorry.
Yeah, these guys get people out, but they don't know how.
Life ain't fair.
So this is. I love that, and that's a good analogy. You're teaching what's on the test instead of teaching them to think.
We've got Steven in Northbridge. Hi, Steven.
Hey, guys. Hey, I think this whole spin rate thing and, you know, substance thing is ridiculous, because if you can go through Little League and high school and college and pitch without any substances on your baseball and pitch as well as you do and make it to the pros, and now all of a sudden you have these guys complaining that they get injured or it's not fair that they can't use anything. It's like, well, you had no problem pitching before without any substances on the ball, so why can't you pitch now? It just blows my mind.
I mean, I think they're full of crap, too. I think you can get guys out without Spider Tech, so I agree with you, like, in principle. But, you know, I don't know. Comparing to a way the guy threw the ball in Little League versus the pros is not really fair.
No, because the competition's not the same. You know, again, you're typically the people who dominate at that age are superior athletes, and there's no one nearly remotely as talented, and they just blow through everybody. But what happens when you get to the higher levels, and now there is someone as talented as you on the other side?
Tony and Stoneham, what do you got for us today, Tony?
Hey, guys, I'm going to tell you something. I get the answer to this. But before that, Maz, you and I really made a connection. I swear to God, yesterday around 10 a.m., I go on the computer, and I want to see how many runs the Red Sox are scoring with two outs. And last night on your show, you gave the batting averages of 4 or 5 of the Red Sox. I'd like to know how they stand up against the whole league. But I'll tell you what, this spin rate and all this crap and everything, let them do it. They still got to throw the ball. You still got to hit the ball. And what difference would it make if everybody's doing it?
Well, because no one can hit, Tony, and the league-wide average goes down to 236, and you watch ball games now, and no one's hitting the baseball. It's all swings and misses, and every bum out there is throwing a no-hitter. It had swung way too far in the pitcher's favor. So that's why.
So this is the problem, is you don't have to pitch the ball with spin rate. All you have to do is throw it. That's it, and spin it. It doesn't matter where it is in the strike zone. There's no artistry to it at all anymore. All they're doing is, Garrett Richards, literally, the Red Sox told him, just get it over the plate. It doesn't matter the corner. You know, it used to be you got to hit the outside corner on this guy, or you got to control both sides of the plate. Or not now. Now you just spin the crap out of it and make sure it's somewhere in the strike zone.
Tom and Quincy, you're up next. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, the comments from Richards last night, I mean, it's tacked on quite a week of pretty impressive comments by these starting pitchers. I thought, honest to God, like, Richards during his press conference up there with his bottom lip quivering, well, at what point are we going to see one of these guys break and actually cry? You know, it's like, dude, you're making $10 million to throw a ball, and you made it sound last night that you just had terminal cancer. Like, get a grip on yourself. Honest to God, it's like, guy, listen, throw the ball. I get it. They don't want you to use the stuff you've used. You just made it sound like anyone can pitch if they got this stuff on their hands, not the fact that you're a professional baseball player that signed a $10 million contract. This guy sucks, man.
He's so right. He is. He's so right.
I mean, it is unbelievable, the caterwauling from these pitchers.
How do you expect me to do it without the glue?
It just shows you that he never knew how to pitch in the first place.
No, but Tom is so right that he makes it sound like, you know what, anybody can pitch if you got the glue.
Right.
Like, what do I do without the glue?
Up there sounding like he's got terminal cancer.
Give me Richards 3. Let's hear some more whining, Jimmy, if you could, please.
As soon as I get to the field every day, I put sunscreen on. Well, now I can't do that. Oh. And on top of that, the only thing that's provided is the rosin bag on the back of the mound, which, to be honest with you, is completely useless. It does nothing. It literally barely even dries up sweat. It might as well not even be there. I can't even think how many times in over the entire course of my career that I've gone to the back of the rosin bag. I've been on mounds that didn't even have rosin bags on the back of the mound. It by itself doesn't do anything for anybody. I don't know anybody that just uses rosin. You know, if we could somehow get a rosin bag that actually worked, I think that's something that should definitely be looked into. You know, I don't think anybody's looking for anything over the top. I think we're just trying to find something that will allow us to throw more strikes and still be able to compete. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, don't we want both sides competing? If one side has to concede and the other side gets all the advantage, then what are we doing here? We're just watering down the purity of competing in the game.
The ball's on him to talk about the purity of competition.
Yeah, he's devastated.
And how that thing started too, but there's so much to pick apart with that, and what a whiny bitch he comes off as. But I used to be able to put on sunscreen. Now I can't. And so now Major League Baseball is going to make me get skin cancer. Like, that's what he's trying to make that sound like.
It does. It sounds that way.
Yeah, oh, my God.
It sounds that way. It totally does. And so there's some stuff that he said that I agree with. Like the idea of, you know, finding something that is consistent that everyone can use. Fine. I'm okay with that. That's logical. I get that. As long as it doesn't tilt the competition, because that's the whole point. But what he neglects to acknowledge is that he's been benefiting from a tilt in competition. So, like, I hear that and go, dude, what do you mean nobody's looking for anything over the top? Maybe you aren't, which I question too, but let's say you aren't. What about Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer and the Spider Tack? Don't say no one, and you want to blame anybody, blame your peers who went and got the Spider Tack so they could do even better than what you're doing.
On so many levels, so good.
Oh, God, he sounds like, oh, it's just calm. Isn't it great when someone tells the truth in an interview? You never get that. He sounds just defeated. Oh, it's awesome.
Want to hear another one? How about number four? What's he going to do going forward, man?
I mean, I'm going to
go ahead.
I mean, I'm going to figure it out. you know, I made it through four innings with pretty much all fastballs tonight. So, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe I'll have to develop another pitch. Maybe I'll start learning a changeup or something. I don't know. But this is where we're at, and this is what we're dealing with. So just got to make the best of it.
Oh, my God, this guy.
Yeah. No, you know, I don't know. I mean, I suppose I could learn another pitch.
Yeah, again, using the analogy of me and those driver re-education courses, well, I guess I could learn to drive the speed limit, I guess.
But really, the idea of learning another pitch the most basic thing to making yourself a better pitcher. I need something to get lefties out. I got to learn a changeup or a split. That's what I got to do. I got to work on it all season. It's what happened to Josh Beckett when he came to Boston. He didn't have it. He had to learn another pitch. Heaven forbid that you actually have to work at it. Oh, my God. This is the part. Like, it's so easy for them now. If it's not easy, they don't want to do it.
We've got Brian in the car. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, I just wanted to comment on something. Some would be fair to the hitters, fair to the pitchers. And the biggest adjustment guys have from going from college to pros is the seams on the baseball.
Okay.
The seams on a pro, but raise the seams.
Okay.
It would be fair to raise the seams on the baseball.
Okay, you can also get to Rawlings, which you own, and make it more tacky in the first place.
Absolutely, either or. I mean, they both accomplish the same thing. You raise the seams, and I know, like, so I don't understand the physics of every decision.
But let me tell you something. I'm sort of cut you off. Whatever baseball does, these guys are going to bitch about it.
Of course.
I mean, you raise the seams and give them a new ball. All these pitchers are going to say, man, I've been pitching with the same ball my whole life, man. Now what? Now they give me a different ball and expect me to perform with a different ball? Like, guys are going to get hurt in a 4-hour game. You know, they'll bitch about that.
Of course they will. And you know what? The ball isn't going to matter in terms of injuries unless it's heavier. That's different. If you make the ball significantly heavier and it requires more strength and, you know, there's more strain put on the arm, then I might agree with you. But the seams, look, you can make the surface tackier. You can raise the seams. What I don't know is, do you raise the seams? Does that affect the flight of the ball? You're going to get less home runs. Baseball's not going to like that.
Here's the real test. Bring up Franchy Cordero from Worcester. If he hits 300, then they all got to retire or find new jobs.
Put the spider tack back on the baseball.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Have you seen what he's doing at AAA?
No.
He's hitting over 400.
Is he really?
Oh, he's lighting up AAA. Lighting it up. Classic 4A player. Well, classic.
Or there's no spider tack down there.
Well, that could be it, too.
Yeah,
that's all right. Possibility.
Meanwhile, we mentioned this earlier. Well, now we'll circle back to it. If you were a hot coaching prospect in the NBA, would you want to come to the Celtics? Is there a job you would rather take than the Celtics? And another job just opened up in the last hour. So there's another candidate for you. A former Celtic is now available for you, but another job that you have to compete with for a prime candidate. So we'll talk about this coming back right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mads, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Please, Mass. What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
All right, we discussed this earlier. In terms of NBA coaching vacancies, where would you rank the Celtics in terms of attractiveness for the candidate? We had 6 when we started. Today, there are now 7 because Rick Carlisle has stepped down in Dallas. First of all, before we get to that question, how about for the Celtics? Would you like Rick Carlisle to the Celtics?
I love Rick Carlisle as a coach. I don't know if he's the right fit here. And so I just think you need someone younger, hipper. You know, an African-American, I think, to relate to Brown and Tatum a little bit more, not in that order, Tatum first. But someone that connects to those players is paramount. Carlisle just had an issue with Doncic in Dallas. It's the primary reason I think he's out of there. So he had trouble connecting to a young guy. I think there were places where Carlisle fits. I don't think this is one of them.
I'm a no. Like, just look at what did he do after they won that championship in 2011? Not much. 151 season, win season, rather. Six playoff appearances, all first-round exits. And I just don't like a lot of these retread guys, and now he's another retread.
Okay. Strong personality. I mean, you know, again, I'm not sure he's the right guy for this market.
So, right, I don't feel like this is what is destined to be a reassigned NBA coach. In other words, Stan Van Gundy, Mike D'Antoni, Rick Carlisle, as good as he is, right? Or something like that. To me, it feels like a current assistant or one of these first-time coaches, former NBA player, Cassell, Billups, etc. It feels like it's one of those two things.
Yeah, now there's a report out, I'm sorry, from Bleacher Report here. Luka Doncic and Rick Carlisle reportedly had, quote, simmering tension that was a concern within the Mavericks organization.
I mean, it's obvious that's why he's out. Obvious. I mean, Cuban loves the guy probably. He's been there forever and is a well-regarded coach. If Luka, I mean, you don't need, and I'm not dumping on you, Jim, but you don't need that report. If Luka wanted Rick Carlisle,
oh, right, still
he'd be there.
Just look at it in reverse.
Right. Yeah, he'd be there.
I mean, To know that Brown and Tatum did not like Stevens is the simplest bit of deductive reasoning ever. If they liked and wanted Brad Stevens as their coach, would he be in the front office?
No.
So just use your head. All right? So, of course, Stevens had lost the locker room and the players didn't want him anymore. If it were the reverse, he'd still be there. So now flip it. You're the hottest candidate on the board. Let's say you're, I don't know, Sam Cassell. And again, reports are from The Wood, who heard today when she was at her high-end women's apparel athletic store.
Can I say the name?
Sure, go ahead.
Lululemon.
She heard at the Lululemon that Sam Cassell's the guy.
I couldn't believe I couldn't figure that out earlier.
You know, I was going to say that, and I held it back for some reason.
And when I say The Wood comes at this from left field, The Wood probably doesn't even know that they need a coach.
Right. No, right. Ever.
And right, I mean, they have coaches.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And I say with all the love and respect in my heart, she just doesn't do the sports thing. So she doesn't know they need a coach, doesn't know who the coach would be, even though he's a Wellesley guy, and you run into him from time to time. It just doesn't register. And if you said to her, what player told the gal that at Lululemon, she'd be like, I couldn't name any. And I say that again with all the love. And so this is like purely just picked up at the Lululemon that Sam Cassell's the guy. Okay, so I'm now giving you two reports. That Tatum wants Larinaga, and that's the guy, and the source at Lululemon says Sam Cassell.
I like Wood's report better.
Me so too.
This is like the Felgram-ass big board. Just a bunch of crap. If one of them turns out to be right, you look like a genius.
Oh, no, we'll be right.
Okay.
I'm telling you, with all due respect, I trust her source way more than yours.
Me too. Either way, now you're Sam Cassell, you're the hottest candidate on the board, and you can choose. You have seven job offers. You've got Orlando, you've got Portland, you've got Washington, you've got the Celtics, you've got the Mavericks. Let's add the Milwaukee Bucks if Budenholzer gets blown out after tonight. Let's add him. That would be eight. I'm missing two more. You've got Indiana,
mm-hmm.
and you've got New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go?
My first choice, if I were the best coaching candidate out there, would still be New Orleans, but Dallas is now close.
Is now my new number one.
It might be either or, and I'll tell you why. Because I think your chances of keeping Doncic in Dallas are better than keeping Zion in New Orleans.
You bet. 100%.
So, now, because again, if you ask me to weigh it out, I think Zion is a better defensive player than Doncic is. Doncic is a better offensive player. He's a great offensive player.
But, okay. Maz, you nailed it. I think Doncic is ultimately less of a flight risk in Dallas because real city, real owner, they'll bend over backwards to make him happy.
Correct.
But, again, you're just sticking with the player. Like, the Mavericks are a 10 times better organization than the Pelicans.
True.
Apparently, Cuban does everything first class. So players and coaches get treated like kings, pours a ton of money into the facilities, the travel, like the whole thing. Really invest in his players and coaches. You don't think that matters one bit?
Yeah, I think it does. But again, if I'm a coach, I'm picking the player first. And the only thing, I love Zion. Love him. But he's a, you know, and I'm not projecting the weight issue or anything else. If he stays in shape and wants to play a whole career, he's going to be a force.
Who's got a quicker path to a title?
Dallas.
Why? How do they get better?
I don't know.
Out of there.
Yeah, so I think Doncic at the offensive end is already championship caliber. I mean, already.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't thinking of it in the terms you are. I'm thinking of it as who's closer to being the franchise player, and I think it's Doncic.
Do they have cap room that they can sign a free agent or lure a guy or build a trade or do that thing?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know.
Do you think New Orleans would ever be in the market to do something like that? I doubt it. Like they're that kind of team.
I doubt it. I think Cuban would be more willing to do that. And so, I you know, that's a good argument from your standpoint.
Where do the Celtics rank?
I would say third.
They're two to me.
What if Budenholzer gets blown out?
No.
I'd still put the Celtics third.
To me, like to me the most interesting case, and maybe I'm biased, but to me to be the coach that's in charge of figuring out Giannis, to me would be a great challenge. Like, I think it'd be a great spot for Carlisle. You know, like, he is just the kind of guy that would look at it and say, Giannis, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to, again, X, Y, and Z, whatever he comes up with, we're going to play you as a low block player. Forget about the threes. Forget about facing up to the bat. Whatever they come up with. Something simple. I mean, that you know, that it's just, someone has to figure out, if you could figure out Giannis, that is still the most impressive physical plant in almost all of sports.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, again, absolutely. And I think Carlisle's a good fit there. I mean, you know, look, he's a former Celtic. So what I would do with Giannis, I'd get McHale in there. And I don't mean as a coach. As a head coach. I mean, if I'm Carlisle, I bring McHale in and start working with him on the block. McHale's the best low post player I've ever seen, maybe outside of Kareem. And so get him working with Giannis. Get Giannis working on his free throws, and you're going to play like a power forward or a center. And you're going to play on the block, and you are going to dominate the way Embiid does. And every once in a while, you want to shoot a three, go ahead, it's fine. But we're not going to mid-range game, and you're not going to drive to the basket. So I think Carlisle's a great fit for Milwaukee. Great. But I do think the Celtics I'd rather have Tatum than Giannis. I would, because I think Tatum's game is a little more complete than Giannis's.
Well,
fair.
Yeah, there's more of an upside with Tatum's game at this point with Giannis. I think we might have seen what Giannis is, and it can only be. And just real quick, do you think Brad Stevens is licking his chops in any of these jobs?
Yes, yes.
Like, now that Dallas is available, you don't think he'd want to go there?
Thank you, Jim. Yes. I would not be surprised one bit, if he's gone to one of these jobs. And not any of them. Like, I didn't think he would leave here to go to Orlando. But home to Indiana, if they gave him complete control of the Pacers roster and the building that was his building, he got to GM and coach it. I mean, or Dallas, if he gets to go down and, you know, slip right into that thing, Cuban will pay him. No, Brad Stevens likes his money. And he gets to coach Luka Doncic. And, I mean, it feels to me like there's some good jobs there for Brad. I would not be surprised one bit if he takes it, even if in a month he's gone.
And Cuban is precisely the kind of owner that would call the Celtics and say, we want to talk to you about him as our coach.
You bet.
He's exactly the kind of guy that would do that. And a good owner should. So, like, yeah,
we'll buy out his contract. We'll take Kemba Walker's terrible deal. What's it going to take?
We'll take on his contract. He's got probably a great contract.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if Stevens wants to coach, you know, an elite talent in the league.
For Porzingis.
Oh, I would do that.
It's a ton of money. Yeah. I know. I just brought it up.
I would do it. Yeah, I would do it. I mean, you probably end up just getting a first round pick from Dallas, you know, because it's worth less. So, but
I think the shine's come off Porzingis.
See, but if I were the Celtics, I'd take a shot, because I feel like about the Celtics like you feel about the Bruins. Where else are you going to get the players?
Yeah.
Where else are you going to get them?
Okay, so there's your reset on the coaching thing. Your calls on everything that's on the board, I promise, right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You are a sorry lot. You are a sad, sorry lot. 98.5. Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
1-2 on the way. Ah. And he drilled another one. He's hit his second batter of the inning. And that is going to bring out Dave Bush. As you had just finished saying 2 minutes ago, you know, sometimes he lets it get away, and he's done it again.
Now he's not, you know, he hasn't got the greatest command to be pitching inside.
I can't remember a game where I've gripped a baseball that hard. I definitely use a loose grip, and tonight just to be in the zone, and I even hit two guys, and I don't hit people. You know, I don't I don't hit people. To just it, with two strikes too, to, you know, trying to go fastballs in and just missing up and in, but not really knowing why. You know, there's going to be a lot of adjustments made. I don't know what kind of product, you know, is going to come out of it, but I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Weight of the world on his shoulders there, Garrett Richards. Okay, back to your phones here as promised. Patrick in Norwood on the Sixers Hawks from last night. Go ahead, Patrick.
Yes, I think that Doc Rivers is overrated. And he won one title 15 years ago. He's done nothing since. Last year, he blew a 3-1 lead with the Clippers to the Nuggets in the bubble. And if you don't think the bubble counts, well, the Clippers weren't really that good before the bubble. And then last night, I don't know how you blow that big of a lead. If you blow that big of a lead in football, usually the fan base would come for the coach's head. So I think Doc Rivers should shoulder the blame. He's about to lose another series of the better team.
Lost some big games in the playoffs. What was the – didn't he have the Rockets 3-1 too when he was with the Clippers one of those years?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. Yep.
And a huge lead in game 5.
It was a great series.
Yeah,
but they blew it.
But
yeah, and don't forget, they had a 13-point lead with the Celtics in game 7 against the Lakers.
But there was a stretch last night, the callers were right. I think it was Lou Williams made 4 straight points late in the third against their bench. And then Doc Rivers kept the bench on after a 15-2 run and then a timeout. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, so look, he's not a great X's and O's guy.
No, he's a good motivator.
Yeah, and he's a guy that players respond to. He's got credibility in the locker room, all that stuff. And, this is the right team for Doc, and I think Philly's still a good fit for him in a lot of ways. But if we're going to give him credit for turning around Embiid, then we also have to say that he didn't get through to Simmons.
Well, this is true. And in-game, that's starting to add up for Doc Rivers. Dean in Shrewsbury has a football thing for us. Hi, Dean.
Hey, I still want Jimmy G back. I was excited when I heard that there might be a quarterback competition there. Do you guys think there's any chance they cut Jimmy G?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I mean, when you say any chance, 0% chance, Murray?
Yes. I'm dug in.
Okay. Well, I think
just to spite you both.
I think there's more than zero.
Yeah, it's more than zero, but I think they're going to ride with him for this season. I do.
Well, I think Kyle Shanahan is vain enough to see a guy have a good preseason and a good camp and say, I can win with that.
So meaning
Trey Lance. So that he would say to the owner, you want to cut the guy with the $25 million? Go ahead, save yourself some money. We'll bring in another backup here. We'll pick up someone else who got cut out of some other camp, particularly if it's anybody that Shanahan has familiarity with. And they'll go, I wouldn't rule it out. Again, is it less than likely? Probably. But, you know, I wouldn't rule it out.
Is it less than likely? Probably, but I wouldn't rule it out. Now that's a take that I can get behind.
Yeah.
Sure. That's right up there with Lululemon.
No, that's me. I love that one.
By the way, we forgot to last in the bubble, the Clippers blew a 3-1 lead to the Nuggets.
Yeah, they've blown a bunch of leads, Doc. So that again, that's adding up for him.
Isn't Philly the first team in history to blow 18-point leads in, at least in consecutive playoff games?
First I heard of that one.
Yeah. First team ever to blow 18-point lead or more in consecutive playoff losses.
George and Saugus on the doctoring of the ball. George.
Hey, how's it going, guys? This is for everyone else because Maz gave me a bad answer on the baseball reporting. So I wanted to ask you guys, when the very first person that found out that this sticky stuff was on a baseball, whether it was an umpire or another player, whoever, how did this not come out earlier where somebody said, hey, there's something on the ball,
George,
and they showed it to people?
Because it's accepted. I don't know if you've ever seen the picture. Maybe we have it for the simulcast. I know you're probably in your car or something. But I mean, there's this famous picture of the ball sticking to Yadi Molina's chest protector. The ball goes in the dirt, you know, 95-mile-an-hour splitter or something, in the dirt, bounces up like Velcro, sticks to his chest protector. And it's like, everyone knows what's going on. It's freaking obvious what's going on.
And he got up, threw off his mask, and started looking for the ball.
So what's the caller want to know who, like, the Kurt Flood of goo is, like in baseball?
I mean, look at that.
What bad answer did I give him?
And look, he's Yachty's almost laughing about it.
Right.
And it's like, it's an open secret, open joke, what these guys were doing. Everyone knew it. And the offense has gotten so bad, and the pitchers have taken advantage so badly, they finally... And Theo is now in charge. I think this is another thing, too. Theo's been hired to clean up the game or move the game forward, open up the game. And so all those things have sort of conspired to them finally doing something about it. But they've known about it for a couple of years.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, just to get back to Theo for a second, because I said this to Murray last night, and I missed this. Do you remember the interview Theo did with Bill Simmons?
Yeah.
Where he said the shift was a symptom, it wasn't the real problem.
He said strikeouts were the problem.
Right. And I think he's right. Like, it never occurred to me that because hitting got so hard is why these guys started to launch. He goes back to the whole spin rate and doctoring the ball on the mound. I never put that together. Like, not at that time. I do now. But at the time when he said, I'm like, Theo, what are you talking about? The offensive approach led to the shift, and that created a problem. You got to get rid of the shift. But the offensive approach changed because of the strikeouts. I think he's onto something there. You got to get strikeouts out, and you'll start to get a better approach at the plate.
Danny in Franklin has a Bruins thought. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, I just want to say you guys do a great job, first-time caller. Anybody that still listens to Pearl Jam and uses them during the intro is good to me. So, kind of changing gears, I just wanted to say that the Islanders-Bruins series, Tuukka aside, I think that the Islanders might have been a better team. They were against them during the regular season. They had the edge in goaltending, even if Tuukka played, I think.
Okay, well, I mean, it's a week late. I mean, the Islanders were a better team, but I still don't know if they had more talent, which is what makes it so frustrating, that they were able to, their style of play and how they played together and how they came up in big moments made them a better team.
They're the old you, is what they are.
But they're not more talented, and they're certainly not more talented than Tampa, and they're doing the same thing to them.
Yeah, so look, I think that's a big boy series. That Tampa Islanders series is a big boy series. Now, the only thing we don't know is how would it have gone if the Bruins kept their defense healthy. Like, that to me is a huge variable that you can't overlook, and I'm not giving the Bruins an out. They didn't play well enough even when it did happen, and they're not built right. But, you know, could they have beaten the Islanders if Miller and Carlo had stayed healthy the whole series? I think it goes the distance.
It goes seven, that's for sure. Dennis and Dedham on the Celtics head coaching opening. Hi, Dennis.
Yeah, listen, thanks for taking the call, guys. Listen, real quick. I'm not talking basketball or any sport, but if you are going for a job, don't you check out what happened before you got there? I think it was Tony said New Orleans would be a nice place for the best coach to land. I'm thinking they had Van Gundy, who's, I don't know, he's okay for 1 year. The Celtics had the most underachieving coach for 8 years, and then when they got sick of him, they made him the general manager. I'm thinking, that's my kind of job. That's like being George Costanza going to the Yankees. You know what I mean?
Great point, Dennis. Absolutely.
Coach for life.
Absolutely.
Keep collecting a check.
It's a low bar here. The Celtics fall in love with all their people. You get propped up by the media. You get everyone looks on the bright side when it comes to the fans. The owner's going to defer to you. They're not going to bail on you after a year or two. They're not that kind of team. It's a great point.
Oh, it is a great point. Again, it's a safe landing. I put the emphasis on the winning, right? I mean, so if you want to win, is Boston your first choice? If you can keep Tatum here, now we're really talking. But I just think that there are other places that have more desirable centerpiece players.
Okay, I have an email that's related to this. Why don't we do that, please?
Yeah. It's the Moncast.
Yeah, you all
email
suck.
Of the day.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Yeah, your wife's smart.
And I think Mez is a blue.
Don't forget Murray.
Lemon.
Too close.
The Moncast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
That's Felger at 985 The Sports Hub. But again, no attachments, no pictures, no audio files, because our Mimecast system here is the Iron Curtain. Again, nothing gets through. I can't open anything you send me. It just has to be letters. That's it, meaning words, text. That's it. Nothing else gets through the Mimecast minefield. The thing's legit. The email
I've never seen anything like
it. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
It's no joke, right? Like, you can't do anything.
Let me try to open this.
You go to Amazon.com, and it's like, can you verify this site?
Yeah, right.
You try and do anything. The computer self, it what's that?
Yeah, it sets to self-destruct.
It self-destructs. So it is, Mimecast is, man, they are serious about it. So this email of the day, and all are protected by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, risks of ransomware, and really anything fun. Visit Mimecast.com, Mimecast.com. Subject line, delusional homers. Hey, Benedict Cheesehead and the Two Stooges, will you quit being so blind and stop overrating the Celtics as a coaching attraction? They're not more attractive than New Orleans, Milwaukee, Atlanta, or Portland. Not that Atlanta needs a coach, but anyway, they're a walking hot mess, he says. Stop your BSing about Tatum this, Brown that. They haven't reached their ceiling this. There's still untapped potential at. I don't want to hear that. They are who they are. They're not going to grow much more from here. They're out for themselves, and there's nothing that you can say to convince me otherwise. Stop being freaking delusional. So I think he's a little strong there, but I do wonder. I can spin a narrative where this Celtics coaching job isn't all that hot. You got a young, entitled roster. They think they're better than they are. They don't know how to win. The president of basketball operations has a huge presence. It's his building. It's his program. He's going to be all up your ass. And who knows? They're probably not going to pay him much because they pay Stevens all the money. So it's really not your show. You're just sort of a puppet on a string trying to coach a bunch of kids who don't get it.
But those kids have a lot of talent. And even though you'd be a puppet on a string, you'll never get fired because remember, they don't fire anyone.
It's a great point.
And you'll be talked about like a god.
They don't fire anybody.
You know, I now have Dallas number one, but it's mostly because of Tatum and Brown. But the Celtics were my number one before Dallas, but they're the clear number two. Because again, if you're the young coach that comes into this, you have two building block superstars and you'll never get fired. And no one's ever going to like really bust your balls within the building.
You're like guaranteed to be overrated.
No, you get a, right. No, so that's true. You get a golden parachute when you get hired.
So there is that to consider. All right, the final word comes your way next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
All right, we'll start with this. We've all been tripped up with phrases before. It happens. We found out about a new one today that Felger's had issues with. Go ahead, Nara, Jimmy.
Pluto keeps pumping this out here. Mm-hmm. He wrote a story the other day. The Bruins' top 10 off-season questions or needs or whatever. And number one on the list, in or out on Jack Eichel. In or out on Jack Eichel. Like, that's number one. That was number one on his list. In or out on Eichel. God, that bugs me. Why can't say that? In or out on Eichel.
It's a little bit of a tongue twister.
It is, but say it, Felger.
In or out on... Ooh, that is hard.
In or out on Eichel.
In or out on Eichel. In or out on Eichel.
In or out on Eichel.
In or out on Eichel.
But he writes that as if it's on the table. It's like they have a choice. Mm-hmm. It's like it's there for him. And Fluto has been writing this on Eichel. Like, say, Jake DeBrusk is a starting point.
That's funny. Do they want a bag of pucks, too?
So Fluto writes, Eichel carries a... Well, is it Eichel? You know, and is that something you do now to add to it for really load up for 1 year? And how do you get that done? If it means Pastrnak or McAvoy, I'm annoyed. Annoyed. I'm a no.
In or out on Eichel.
But and I'm not paying 10, I don't think.
Maz, make a decision. Are you in or out on Eichel?
Right now, I'm in or out on Eichel.
I'm in or out on Eichel.
At the moment, I'm out.
At the moment, I'm in.
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 In on Hall, in on Eichel. I'm in. In.
I'm a skid.
And then when they get here, I'll rip their ass, too. I'll hate them inside of 6 months. But as I'm standing here right now, in on Eichel.
In or out on Eichel.
In or out on Eichel.
In or out on Eichel.
It's another t-shirt.
I can't do it. I still can't do it. Jimmy, what was that video game?
That'd be Genesis NHL 94.
That's correct.
Yep.
Speaking of another t-shirt, Is that less than likely? Probably, but I like it. Whatever it is.
Well, Mike also had an analogy for the whiny pitchers and their use of spider tack, and how you think of this.
The pitchers tell you the rosin's insufficient. I think a lot of that is because they're not, you know, they never used it. They used something stronger.
Because a rosin bag is an Advil and their spider tack is Oxy. So it's like you just take the aspirin and you, this doesn't do anything when in fact it does. But you're so hopped up on opiates that you can't feel it. Is that an analogy for you?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I kind of like that. There you go. That's it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, Murray, what would you say? It's like having to take 2.5 milligrams when you used to 10.
You've been dropping acid every day for 2 weeks, and then you take a puff of a joint, and you say, well, this doesn't do anything. Well, right. After all the acid you've been taking, yes, it doesn't do anything. I don't know why those are my analogies, but those are my analogies.
No, they've been taking some pretty potent gummies.
Rosin
does. They've been doing.
Rosin can help you grip the baseball. It's just compared to what you've been doing. I you know, that's why it doesn't feel like it. You're just going to have to learn how to pitch. Sorry, you're going to have to learn how to pitch.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.